Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If we weren't sure that you should be here, then, you know, that kind of changes the scope of everything that we're trying to put together.
Yeah.
But if you're certain about yourself being here, you just weren't sure about who else would be here, well, that's definitely something we can work through.
Yeah. Deciding that I'm ready to date again, it's nerve-wracking. There's a lot on the line. I mean, this next woman that comes into our relationship, I would potentially be getting legally married as Jenny and April are. I think that's a huge deal. There's a lot at stake.
Hello, hello, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, our Seeking Sister Wife episode for the week. Do we have anything to talk about? Do you have anything to talk about? I don't think so. If you want to check out the merch, we have merch in the link in the episode description. We have links to the survey in the episode description. We have links to Patreon. I'm unlocking, along with Peacock, the Bravo Vault. They uploaded last week a bunch of old shows that are no longer on. So last week I did a recap of the series premiere of The Rachel Zoe Project. This week is Shaws of Sunset. May, I'm going to be doing season one of Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List. I am so excited. This was like, you know, if I'm ever blessed enough to be on Las Culturistas and they were asked me, like, what was the culture that made you say, like, culture's for me? My Life on the D-List would definitely be one of those things. And I love her. And I'm so excited to, like, go back in time. But let's get into the episode, right? Yeah, let's get into the episode. I think we're going to start with Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips because they were really just a blip on the radar. We didn't get Nyla and Naeem this week. They have, you know, finish their shift babysitting. So maybe we'll find, you know, third time's a charm with them. Maybe we'll see. But this week with Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips, they have officially locked down Danielle to start seeking again. They're like, okay, we got you some nachos. We got you in that smash room. Let's get you a bride. And Danielle's like, sure. So now she's all hopped up on nachos, feeling footloose and fancy free. So they go back home and they take it to the backyard for a little fireside s'mores, a little red wine for Nick, a little white wine or vodka in a glass for the rest of the ladies. Danielle's giggling about how great it was to be violent in the smash room. Like, I was so nervous at first, and you know, she got that bat and it turned into a Carrie Underwood video. So she's feeling great. April says afterwards, Nick, we got lunch. We got to the root of like Danielle dating. So we just wanted to loop you in. Like I told you, they're just very corporate about their relationship. It's like Slick Nick LLC. And these are like the other, it's not a sole proprietorship. It's like a whole corporation. So it's an S corp and the S, well, I'll let you figure that out. So basically she's like, the CEO, Boston CEO is like, we want to find another elite employee for our family. We just want to loop you in. Danielle has officially, we've circled back with Danielle and she has officially confirmed that she is ready to move forward into the next phase of our family. So Nick turns to Danielle and is like, I just really want to make sure that this is something that you want, that you're prepared for. And Danielle says, I think what would make me feel better is if we can agree that we're just like debriefing as a group. Every time we interview somebody, we want to debrief before we take them into round two, right? So Nick turns to Danielle, is like, you know, I'm just glad that your issue is not with us. It's with finding somebody else. Like, we can work with that. If you're having an issue with us, I don't know what to do. But then Danielle says in a confessional, this person's going to potentially be somebody that I'm going to have to legally marry. So this is a huge deal with a lot at stake. Exactly what I've been screaming for weeks, right? So they ask Danielle, okay, are you sure that you want to do this? And she says, yeah, like if there's somebody supposed to be sitting out here in this, you know, fairly shaggy backyard in a collapsible chair, I feel like we should try to do that, you know? And I'm ready to get married and find a wife of my own. Like, let's do it. She's nodding confidently, but then it's Cap. She says in a confessional, I'm nervous. Like, I'm trying to play it cool, but when it comes to having a fourth wife, I'm really nervous. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I'm terrified of what potentially is going to happen with the situation. So Jennifer, none the wiser, she's like, all right, guys, let's cheers. Let's turn on our dating profiles. Nick is definitely excited about the prospect of, like, us finding somebody, but April says, I think in the back of my mind, I'm always going to have concerns that Danielle's not truly ready to start dating and that she's just saying those to be agreeable. So, you know, I have to be careful. And now he said it. So Nick tells all of them, you know, I've got a lot of love to give. And they all cheers to that. You know, they find one other woman, that's a couple days off that they get to rest. They don't have to go off to that boom boom room. They get, you know, 2.5 feet to themselves. That's a good time for them, you know? So we have to get a little bit serious with our resident Fred and Willow, Ashley and Shane this week because, well, let's get into it. We start off with Shane meeting up with one of his friends from axe throwing, Charlie. So he tells him, you know, about Sarah. Ashley just found a new girl. They met on a dating app. You know, like, Ashley really took a liking to her. She's gorgeous. She's 28. We had a really great time. You know, I met her on the second date for them. And he's like, you know, I'm going through the questions and I'm getting a bad feeling. Like, it was awkward at first because this is the first time that I've seen Ashley openly flirt with somebody and I didn't know how to feel. But, you know, like, I like seeing Ashley the way she was. And then he asked, like, Sarah, you know, had you had relationship experience with other couples? And she said, you know, like, I have, but I only saw those people, like, you know, 2-3 times a year. So it made him feel like, oh, we're not on the same page and she doesn't understand. So he tells Charlie, I point blank asked her if she'd be willing to commit to us, like, right now. And she said, you know, I want to take some time. To which Charlie says, that's totally fair. She's not the type of person to just jump right in. So then Shane is like, okay, but, you know, she doesn't want to take the steps to get to know us, or is it that she's not taking the initiative? Like, I'm just so confused, me, as to how much effort Sarah is supposed to be giving them in the middle, quite literally, in the middle of their second date. What is she saying that is such a deal breaker for Shane? Like, even finding out what we know, I still have a lot of questions as to, like, whether or not this is fair. I don't have questions. This is not fair to Sarah. I'm just going to say this. So I can also tell that Shane is delivering this information very quickly because like me, Charlie's like, well, what you're saying about Sarah and her responses doesn't really seem all that unreasonable. And honestly, you asking her the first time you met her, and again, the second date with Ashley, which really to me is technically like a half date, because they're not really getting to know each other. This is like a date so you can go know my husband. So that's not really like a real date. This is like date and a half for her and Ashley. First meeting with Shane, and he's basically asking her to sign a damn blood oath to commit. And like, it's the thing that really bothers me is he's using her past against her. She's 28. It is perfectly reasonable for her to have had casual relationships and now be at a point where she's ready to seek out more long-term and serious ones. And I think the way he talks to her also is like, okay, do you understand? And she's like, yeah, I do. I get it, Shane. I'm still here. Thank you. Charlie tells us that dating one person is hard, but with a non-traditional dynamic, you have to add somebody else's feelings and considerations into the mix. And if you want to have a healthy relationship, he would figure that's probably twice as much, if not more, work than just in a regular monogamous relationship. And he thinks he would be really jealous and he probably couldn't make it work himself. So Charlie tells Shane, it sounds like there are more questions that need to be answered about like whether or not the relationships she had in the past are going to align with what you guys want. And so Shane's like, thank you so much for validating how I feel. That's all I wanted. That is all you wanted. And I still don't really think that Charlie agrees with him. He's just literally saying what Shane wants. But then Shane says, after the talk, it just felt like nothing or nobody was going to be good enough for Ashley in my eyes. And there are times that I worry that like one of these women are going to steal Ashley from me. And the reason why we've been on this journey is because, as you know, Charlie, I've had a, as he calls it, a touch of cancer. And he's had the scan that he's supposed to be going back for to make sure that it hadn't returned. He's been holding off on it. And so Shane reveals that one of the main reasons why we decided to seek a sister wife for Ashley is because I was diagnosed with kidney cancer and I had to have a partial nephrectomy, where they take the cancerous tissue from his kidney. But he did a scan and it was showing that there might be spots in his other kidney that could be an issue. So while he is cancer-free now, there's like they're monitoring the situation. It could come back with not only cancer, but a worse diagnosis than what he had before, right? So Shane tells Charlie, I just want to make sure that Ashley's taken care of. And Charlie's our supportive king. He tells him, like, I'm here for you, man. If you need to hug, if you need to yell, because what you're going through is not okay. Like, it's totally okay to be sad, angry, all that. And so Shane is like, thank you so much. I don't really have people to talk about. You know, like, I have Ashley, but that's really it. So, like, I really appreciate that. I don't want to be weak in front of her. And Charlie's like, you know, just give me a hug, man. I love you. It's okay. And Shane's like getting emotional. It's very sad. You're like crying. And, you know, Charlie's reassuring him. And he's like, I just need a minute. And he's walking down the street. And we actually don't see him again until he's back at home with Ashley. And he's telling her about like catching up with Charlie. And he said, you know, like I was crying and it actually felt really good to be confiding in a friend. And you are my number one confidant, but it also is good to have somebody else to talk to, especially when we're not on the same page. Now, like, I really want to be respectful to Shane because this is, like, obviously the stress of this situation is making them feel, like, Shane especially, a lot of pressure to make sure that he's got all his ducks in a row, make sure that Ashley's good for when, if, you know, the worst happens. And while I understand that desire, I also feel like he's not, I don't know if there is a good right way to go about this, because ultimately you have to let the chips fall where they may. You have to let relationships play out the way they play out. You can't force somebody to promise you that they're going to be by Ashley's side forever you just can't make them do that. You can't make them do that on the second date. You can't make them do that on the 12th date. Like, there's just no guarantees in life, right? And so it's just like, I think ultimately he's ruining potentially any chances that Ashley could have at a partner because he's trying to push things too hard, too fast, too fast, too furious. And also, I guess I wonder why are we not seeking out men? You know? Like, why are we only seeking out women if... I just have a lot of questions. And also, my other question is, well, they said in episode one, or their first episode, that part of the plan was to eventually impregnate Ashley's girlfriend with Shane, but they were going to have a platonic relationship. And so, like, were they going to be freezing sperm? You know, like, I'm just very, like, I think that this is just, they've already said that we go, like, warp speed with our relationships, and I think maybe we need to pump the brakes. Like, we got one kid, and the other one's practically out at this point. You got a lot. You haven't gone to your screening yet. It just seems like there's a lot going on. And if you guys want to seek, fine. But, like, Shane, you got to take the pressure off for Ashley, for Ashley's sake. If you're worried about her future, you got to keep it cool, baby. And then I also wonder, okay, if they go through this screening and Shane, fortunate, you know, like, fingers crossed, everything's cool and he's good to go, cancer's fully in remission and it never comes back, is this still going to be something that they're looking to want to do? Or is Shane going to be like, oh, well, so I just, I might have to tell you something, Ashley. I got something to say. Because on top of that, there is clear jealousy that he has with these women and, like, intimacy that Ashley might have for them. He just said, I'm scared that she might, that this potential woman could take Ashley away from me. So, you know, maybe actually we do need to take the seeking off the table and then, and let's reconfigure. Let's really talk this out and then come back. Ashley's really supportive of Shane in this moment and is like, I'm really glad that you had somebody to talk to. And I have to admit, I know that you've been, like, holding off on this screening. I've been holding off on, you know, pressuring you. It's a lot, you know, but it's also, like, not me. It's something that you have to do. So then Shane asks Ashley how she felt about Sarah. And she's like, oh, you know, I feel pretty good. And I think we should have a more serious conversation about where things stand. And so Shane's like, I just want to make sure that Sarah's checking the boxes if I'm not there, which, whew, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. But let's move on. Unfortunately, we have got to talk about Tenacious B, Becky, and Justin. They're at the Diesel Barbershop. Of course. They, you know, one thing about Becky and Justin is that they will simulate the local businesses in their area. Every week, we're at the boba shop, we're at the barber shop, we're getting drinks at the bar, all the bees are happening. So they're at the Diesel barber shop to get Justin all gussied up. Becky says it's been a few weeks since their visit, as she calls it, with Stephanie. She doesn't know how she feels about that now, but they are already chatting with people on the apps and say they're keeping looking because it's going to be very rewarding in the end to live the lifestyle that they want to live. You know, like, we are already 20 years into seeking. I just wonder, have they ever considered, like, not being fucking weird? Have y'all thought about that? Just a quick question. Have you considered not being absolutely psychotic? Just, you know, maybe just mix it up a little bit, you know? Just try it. See how it works. How have they been talking to people already? Do you think that they were talking to people with, like, keeping people in the back burner and holding on to Stephanie at the same time? Or do you think, how soon do you think we went from Stephanie to the apps? That, or was there a crossover? That's what I want to know. So anyway, we have this completely set up scene with Brayson, the barber, with the gauges, little swirly gauges in his ears. And Becky's like, I just want to make sure that Justin looks good. And so Brayson, Braylon, Brayson, Brayden, It doesn't matter. Brayden's like, wow, is there a special occasion for you getting this completely normal haircut that people get on a regular basis? Are you guys going to be going on a date? Special date tonight? And so Becky's like, it's a date out with a potential sister wife. So Becky tells us that Justin recently started talking to a woman named Yari. Justin says, it's been kind of slow go on meeting people because the ratio, if you're going on to these polygamy apps, of women, single women to couples, it's like a fucking frenzy. It's like 100 to 1. So they scooted on over to a dating app for us normies and tried their luck. So Justin says, when he met her, you know, it's going to sound a little bit superficial, but I was like, whoa, I'm checking this one out. And then Becky's weird ass is like, I'm pretty optimistic, except I think that maybe Yari didn't pay attention to the fact that he's looking for a second wife.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So how the hell are you optimistic, babe, if we're already starting on, like, the biggest deception? It's a really big white lie to begin with. Is the fact that there's a whole other bitch on the side. And it's you, Becky. Becky with the weird hair. Becky with the cowlick. So then Gage is like, well, I'm calling Gage. Brayden with the Gages. Ask them about the date. And Justin's like, well, I actually wasn't even upfront immediately, but that I was looking for a polygamous relationship until the end of the first date. And obviously she was like, you know, I don't know, like, I've never even heard of this. I don't know what's going on. Becky, by the way, is micromanaging this haircut. Brayden, this part looks like it's going up a little bit. And Brayden's like, yeah, I'm not done. And she's like, oh, okay. So after that, she's like, I just feel like because Yari is a fancy woman who likes to wear high heels, it's just really important to me that Justin is crisp and looks his best. And honestly, no shade, but let's be real here. Becky's a real Sarah Plain and tall here, without the tall. And again, not in a shady way. Okay, if Justin is looking his best and this is like a fancy lady with the heels, don't you want to step your pussy up a little bit? Like, I'm not saying you have to put makeup on, but like, maybe we could get out of these maternity size short jumpers. Just a thought. Two things we could put on the list of mixing it up. Get out of the jumpers and stop being weird. Stop following people and tracking people at their homes. Just two quick things we could just stop doing, you know? So anyway, it's, like I said, been 3 weeks since Yari and Justin have been talking. And Justin says, it's just been such an out-of-the-box relationship that it's hard to find somebody who's really down with it. So Brayden says, well, this really isn't all that out-of-the-box for me. It's more of a society thing. Like, they think it's out-of-the-box. So Becky goes, Brayden, have you ever cut hair for a polygamist? Like, what would the difference be, Becky? You know, like, I know Cody Brown's hair is a very specific thing. And your hair looks pretty specific, too. But I, like, what about Never mind, girl. And he's like, you know, absolutely. I am one myself. I actually have two partners. I've got one in Texas and I've got another one in New Jersey. So Braden tells us that he's been practicing polygamy for 6 months and that he feels like Justin's very handsome. Becky's a very beautiful woman. So he's hoping everything goes well for them. Braden is in a great mood. I will say that. Braden's also been in a far more successful relationship in the first 6 months of trying than Becky and Justin have been in 20 years. And they almost got a stalking charge on the last one. So, uh-oh. So now it's time for the date, right? And Tenacious B coaching Justin, make sure you tie your shoes real tight so you don't trip. Pull out the chair for Yari. So Justin tells Becky, you know, I asked Yari if I could pick her up and she said, no, you know, I don't have men pick me up on the first date. I'm not going to do the accent that Justin did, but he tried it. And honestly, Yari, great foresight, girl, because you ladies probably shouldn't be giving your address out to a first or second date until you feel comfortable. Especially like if you, you know, if they're like, oh, let me get the Uber for you. If you can, have them drop you off like a couple doors down or something like that, just until it's cute, right? And that's the same for the Uber driver, too. Because if you get a man Uber driver, those men are freaks, okay? They're freaks. And you don't want them to know where you live either, because they'll be creepy. They'll be real creepy. But anyway, shout out to you, Yari, because this is a situation where you could have been in danger, girl. Because Lord knows, Becky said, well, make sure you open her car door when she gets there. And I'm like, my God, did you make sure and put the tracker underneath her car while she's not looking while you're at it? So then Becky looks at Justin and says, no intimacy or anything, even if she tries it. And Justin says, well, what if I get drunk? And Becky says, you don't even drink. And all he says is, oh. So then Becky tells us a kiss is fine, but we're not going to make the same mistake that we made with Stephanie and go all the way because we thought she was committed, but now look at us. So we're going to take our time now. Justin tells us that when he matched with Yari on that dating app, she didn't read the profile. So when Justin told her, I got a wife, she was kind of shocked, but she wanted to keep going. They hadn't really spoken about it, but he says, I was pleasantly surprised that she agreed to a second date. And I feel like we got to get our storyline straight because you said she just didn't read your profile. You just assumed that she, by the conversation, knew nothing about the fact that you had a whole other wife, decided to go for it, take her on a date anyway, and then reveal the news at the end. And then she finally was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go on a second date with you. And I just have to wonder, like, I want dying to know how he told her, because I know it was manipulative and weird as shit and probably evasive. But okay. So Yari tells us the first time I met Justin, we just went out for a normal dinner until he told me, you know, he had a wife. So this is something new for me. So Justin tells Yari, I've been with Becky since we were teenagers. And she's like, oh, cool. And she's like, do you have kids? And he says, yeah. And she goes, how many kids do you have? Like 2, 5? And he says 6 total. Does that mean that? No, because they've known each other. 6 total just seems weird if you had them all with the same person. You know what I mean? 6 total would mean that you had them with multiple people to me. But I don't think that's the case. Who's to say? We don't know what these people's stories were. So Yari's like, well, I'm a single mom. You know, I've been raising my son by myself. And they start talking about Becky and how Justin showed Becky Yari's profile. And Becky's response was, oh, that's your type. So Justin says in a confessional that the reason why Becky said that is because she had a couple of workout pictures on her profile. And Becky knows that I'm attracted to Arabic women and Latina women, and she's super hot. Now, sir, a couple questions here. Do you know which one Yari is? because she can only, I mean, she could be both. You know what I mean? She could be, but it just seems like you're not sure. And if you want this woman to be here, it just seems like one of the first things you would figure out. Like, is she Arabic? I'm using air quotes here. Or is she Latina? What is she? Justin, do you know? So Justin asks Yari if she would be interested in the lifestyle. And she says, well, I've been thinking about it. And my worry is with Becky. Like, is she okay with that? And so Jackson says, I keep no secrets, even though you literally just did. And then he's like, you know, maybe Yari's dealt with infidelity in her past. And, you know, I also didn't give her the full scope. So, you know, I just feel like moving forward, I need to be honest with her. Like, how are we already starting to sound this? And now we have to move forward to what? Date number three? You're going to decide to be honest with her. And also blame it on the fact that she may have been cheated on before. Maybe she dealt with infidelity. No, you're lying to her now. Let's worry about that. Let's worry about that. So Yari asked Justin, what is the expectation? What do you expect from me as far as like us all dating? Is it going to be us three all out at the same time all the time? Do we get to just be the two of us? Justin says, you know, I really don't mind. Either way, whether it's together, whether it's separately, but I'm sure if we're gonna match for each other, we'll just figure it out as we go. Famous last words. So Yari says, I don't really know what Justin is expecting, but I think it's better when people tell the truth. She already knows this is bullshit. She already knows, okay? So they wrap up their day and he says goodbye and he whispers, can I have a kiss? Can I have one? Nobody's looking. And then he tries to kiss her and she's like pulling away. And then he tries to go in again and she's like, aww. And he's like, what? And so he finally lands a couple and he goes, no tongue. I know how you are. What do you mean? Because then he says, Yari says that she's never kissed him before. So what do you mean? I know how you are. And what does that mean? You're nasty. That man shoved his tongue down her throat on the first date. And she was like, please stop. I knew it. So she does say that the kiss was good. I don't know how that's possible. You didn't seem like you wanted it. But she's like, I just need to know how this is going to work. And I just wonder if I would prefer to have him just for me. I think, Yari, you're going to find out. You don't. Finally, y'all, we got to end on Joel Osteen and Slackjaw. Whew. The screen pops up and says, it's been 2 months since Garrick proposed in Italia. 6 weeks ago, Garrick left for Brazil to spend time with her. So we were left believing last week that whatever the original trip had gone from like a couple weeks to 4 weeks, and now he's been there 6 weeks and counting. We see Slackjaw packing for Rio, and she says she feels like after the engagement, Natalia's focus really shifted and the communication with her wasn't the same. This scene is so massaged, if you will. It was really cracking me up because they're having her like pack for Rio because she's supposed to go, but they just like are like, girl, just take out any piece of luggage you want. Just get a couple of clothes from the closet. Don't even bother taking them off the hanger and just lazily toss them into the piece of luggage, girl. Don't even bother. You're not going. They also have a sign in their room on a piece of wood that says, it looks like it's from their wedding because it's dated April 22nd, 2007. And it's a Bible verse and it says, so I will submit myself unto thee and obey the words of thy mouth. My heart I give you, the form of my God has kept for me, for thy me. Whatever the fuck. It's about giving your heart to each other and God thy thee, okay? April 22nd, 2007. Okay. Ugly piece of wood. So Samantha walks in and I'm very confused. I love Samantha. She might be my favorite person on the show, but what was she wearing? It was like brown sweatpants, brown sweater, denim jacket, but only buttoned on the first two, like a cholo. It was just very confusing. It was just an odd look. But anyway, Samantha walks in and is like, hey, you don't look so happy. And Slackjaw, again, acting. She says in a confessional, you know, outside of talking about the kids and work, me and Joel haven't really been talking. We've just kind of been taking the separation and soul searching and seeking things out with the Lord. Yeah, I'm sure Garrick has been seeking the Lord in Brazil. Oh God, oh God. I'm sure he's been saying oh God all night. Every night. Oh God, oh God. While you're crying. So Slackjaw says, I also have something that I want to share with Samantha because there are going to be some big changes and I need to talk to her. So Samantha is like rooting around in her closet and Slackjaw is just like, well, Samantha, not going to lie, I'm not too thrilled to go. And so Samantha tells us, I'm worried because Danielle's expressed how rocky their relationship is, and there would be nights where Garrick would come over to our house and say that he needed to stay the night. And he'd be like, yeah, sure. But I'd never seen it this bad. So then Samantha pulls out this brown dress, tight dress, and she's like, oh, this is cute. And Slackjaw's like, yeah, it's sexy, but I don't know if I should wear that being pregnant. And Samantha's like, oh, you're pregnant? Slackjaw says, yeah, I went to the doctor. I knew something was off and he took a blood test and it was positive. And so Samantha's like, oh, well, what about Garrick? And she says, I haven't told him yet. So then Samantha goes, oh my gosh, it wasn't planned yet, wasn't it? And she says, no. Well, how do you feel, Danielle? And she's like, well, with Garrick being in Brazil with Natalia, and she's like, I know when he left, like, we really weren't in the best place. It was kind of why he left for so long, actually. And us kind of taking a little separation was, like, the longest we've ever been apart with each other. So it's also a realization that I could be a single parent because I don't know if we're going to stay together. So Samantha says to us, if I were Danielle and I were home alone and pregnant, I would want my husband by my side. And my biggest concern is that they're going to separate. Garrick could stay in Brazil and Danielle would be left here with a newborn baby and feel like she has nobody. But maybe this baby will bring them back together. Like, it might not seem like that now, but I'm hoping that they're able to work this out. So then Slackjaw says that on top of that, she's supposed to be going down to Rio because Garrick and Natalia are supposed to be getting married that weekend.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
But they don't have any confirmation yet. Like, nothing from the courts, nothing official. So Samantha's like, well, how do you think Garrick will feel? And she says, I don't know. Like, our relationship's in a super fragile state right now. I don't know if it's gonna come back from that. But Natalia's barely talked to me. And, like, maybe she just wants to enjoy Garrick, but it doesn't seem like she wants me at that wedding. And the fact that she wasn't like, I want you there, sister, I don't know. So Samantha asks Slackjaw, do you think that Natalia even wants a sisterhood with you? Because it kind of seems like she wants Joel for herself. And Slackjaw's like, yeah, like at this point, I kind of feel like I'm inviting on their wedding. So she says, I feel like if Natalia is making a commitment to Garrick, she should also be making a commitment to you and the boys, like not just him. And it doesn't feel like she's making that. And Slackjaw's like, yeah, honestly, it doesn't. And then she says, I just feel like maybe she thought that Garrick and I would separate, and in her mind, like, ultimately we would break up. Like, well, let's circle back to that, babe. What makes you think that Natalia is playing the long game, other than the fact that she's not texting you back within a certain time frame and you're screaming about it? Like, what else is giving that? So Black Dog keeps crying and Samantha's like, are you okay? And she's like, not really. Like, obviously, I feel like an outsider. So Daniels isn't a confessional. I'm feeling scared. And it's a scary realization that after so long together, there's a possibility that I could be doing this on my own. So she tells Sam, like, this just doesn't feel like a great time right now. So after that, she FaceTimes Joel and she says, I think Eric's going to be surprised, as surprised as I am. And I'm not really knowing what's like fully happening with us. And honestly, I don't feel like I want to go to Rio at this point. So they hop on a FaceTime and he's in his, you know, signature black tank top. And she's like, oh, where's Natalia? And he's like, oh, she's out shopping for a dress, for a wedding dress. Oh, okay, well, how's wedding planning going? He's like, oh, it's just so crazy, all the bureaucracy and the loopholes and the, you know, I got to write things and sign and I got to read and hopefully we'll just get it done. So then Danielle starts laying the groundwork, like, I just really don't seem like Natalia wants me there, and I don't think I can come. So he's like, what? Well, I think, like, once you get here, I think it'll be better. So Danielle says, well, I just mean, I guess, it's just not really feeling like she wants me there. And, you know, then there's the stuff between you and I. So Danielle says, I'm just feeling really apprehensive about how Garrick will react, and that all the stuff we're dealing at, like, I just want this to be exciting and happy news, but it just doesn't feel right that, like that right now. So, y'all, how are we supposed to possibly believe that she breaks the news that she's pregnant over FaceTime? So she tells him, well, I guess I found out yesterday that I'm pregnant. And Joel just stares at her. Like, you would have thought that the screen went blank. And he goes, well, children are a blessing of God, from God, so it's a blessing. I definitely didn't expect that. So Slackjaw says, well, I just feel overwhelmed, and I just don't think I can make that trip. It just kind of feels awkward, and like I'll be in the background or like a third wheel, you know? And he goes, yeah, but we'd love for you to be a part of it. This man gives her nothing. He's like, yeah, I definitely see why you would feel that way, because we are going to not include you, but just come down anyway, you know, just get over it. And I think we would love for you to be part of the third wheel. Not our thing, but just like a separate part. Do you want to be a flower girl? And I also, like, I forgot some things at the house. So if you could bring those, that would be really great. And honestly, after that, you just leave. But we would love, like, if you want to have cake or something, that's fine. We did not pay for your plate. So remember, and it's a cash bar. But you can be there. But I get why you feel like a third wheel, you know? So Danielle's like, you know, I just don't think I can right now. I'm sorry. Like, I just got to go, let you go for now. So Joel's like, okay, well, how about I call you in a couple days? She's like, tomorrow. She's like, okay, tomorrow. And she's like, you know what? I love you. And you're like, you're special. I'm very excited for the baby. And like, you know, it's just, we'll just try to be in the blessing. It's a blessing what's happening. So in a confessional, Danielle says, you know, God put Garrick and I together, and he's never going to change that. And he told us to be together, and it's one of the most powerful things in my life. But I need to be a spot where I'm assured, and we haven't been in that place. She has told us that throughout the entirety of their relationship, she has considered leaving, that after their legal divorce, she has considered leaving on multiple occasions. I just, like, do you know that the relationships don't have to be like this? Like, I don't think in marriages, people necessarily deeply consider leaving several times. I just don't think that that's healthy. I think those people would say that's not a healthy dynamic. And maybe we can, like everything in your relationship, just take God out of it, you know? My suggestion for you guys is maybe we can take God out of whatever it is that you're doing. And I think it would make a lot more sense to people, to be honest with you. Let's get into that IG Live where we meet baby Leia Lily Melissa Merrifield. They name that baby Leia Lily Melissa Merrifield. Leia Lily Melissa Merrifield. Leia Lily Melissa Merrifield. Cute as can be. I gotta tell you, that is a very cute baby. She's got the cheeks. She's like, she was ready. Like, they, the chick was ready for the camera. They had her up on IG Live. She was giggling, making little cute faces at her mom, like cooing. She, like, could, like, ovary explosion. Adorable. Adorable, okay? Garrick, we finally made it through the IG Live. We didn't seem to have a headache this time. No headache. And I think he knew. We're about to debut our 11th month old baby. The baby's damn near a year old at this point. God bless her. People probably aren't going to be in the comments being like, Garrick, you're a fucking pervert. Garrick, why do you only want to sleep with Brazilian women? Garrick, do you know what you're doing? Might be like human trafficking, sex trafficking, that sort of thing. Sex tourism, you know? I think he kind of knew that they would go soft on him, just be like, oh, my baby's really cute. And I think that's exactly what happened. So they really didn't say much. When did they say that might be interesting? Somebody asked Garrick if he actually was having migraines all this time or he was secretly taking care of the baby, and they were like, no. And that was really it. Oh, she did say she got her tubes tied, but then Garrick looked at her like earnestly and he was like, you know, unless God grows them back. And then she tells a story about how she talked to a girl whose mother got her tubes tied and they grew back, and that's how she and her twin sister were born. And that was literally only interesting things from the Instagram live. So my bad. Hopefully there will be some mess next week, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.